You open our eyes, open our hearts so we can receive what you're saying about us in you, about who you are in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 16 again. Let me say a couple things to kind of prelude us again. I know I told y'all to read chapter 1. I'm not going to be going right up and down the chapters and just reading straight out the book, because I'm sure that would be very boring to us. There are some, I remember being in grade school, and we always had textbooks, but for some reason we never ever completed the whole textbook. You'd be in math class, you had a big thick book of math problems and all these subjects, but you never really touched on everything. So what they did was they would touch on the pertinent things that you needed for the next year, the things that you needed to keep going. There was some stuff that you would never see again. I don't remember much of the math, much of algebra. I can remember a little bit of it, but I don't remember much of it, and I really don't use it in my day-to-day. You know what I'm saying? And so the things that were pertinent, they touched on. So same way with our textbooks here, this class, and I'm sure with other classes, you better touch on the things that are pertinent or important for fulfilling. Another thing I learned about our textbooks were there were always, you have to remember this, they were always, after a couple of years, there'd be a new edition. What you're saying? What are they saying about the new edition? That means the ones they had 2 years ago, some things have changed. You get it? There's some extra that we added. There's a quicker way we found to do something. Or there's some information. You need to learn it about life and learn it about you and even learn it about the Bible, that it's ever increasing, ever learning. The Bible even said that you always learn. There's always something that you don't know. All right, so don't get hankered down. I taught it in our Living by the Book class. Don't get hankered down or anchored down in the letter so much, because you'll kill yourself in the letter without the life. Are y'all with me? And so we'll be reading chapter 1. There's a lot of things in this book that's very pertinent to you understanding church. There's some things that might be a little old school or whatever, but that's fine. We'll walk our way through it. So we're going to start off Matthew 16. I want to say this again, that the church is not, and I might have said it's not, but it's not just an organization, it's an organism, a living organism. You are church. Say, I am church. This is the thing that we left out. We know how to come to service on Sundays. We know how to do Sunday school. We know how to go to vacation Bible school when we little. We know how to come to Bible study. We know how to do all those things. But in that equation, we've always left ourselves out. The only thing we told ourselves to do was be moral, right? Do the right thing, don't sin. But you didn't realize that the action was actually coming through you. I like what it says in chapter 1. When you're the organism, but there is an organization with the organism. So you understand. The root word of both of those words is organ. All right, like your body has vital organs. And I looked up the definition of organ. I want to read it. It's real simple. It says a part of an organism that is typically self-contained and has a specific vital function, such as heart or liver in humans. So I'm going to say it again. It's a part of an organism that is typically self-contained and has a specific vital, that talks about life, a specific life function, okay? So the root word of all these is organs. So even your organs are organized a certain way. You know, your heart ain't on your shoulder. Your brain ain't in your knees. It's in a certain place for a certain use. Your intestines, everything around, is placed there in a certain place, and we'll read that more in Ephesians 4. It's placed in that place for its specific use, for what it was made to be, for what it was called to do. So in this organization, which is cool to be organized, you know, I don't know if I'm the best organized person in the world, but when you do organize things, you know where everything is. It's easy to get to something, right? It makes it more effective to use something. So the organization, there's the church organization, then there's the church as an organism. Are you understanding me? And we are the organs. Say, I am the organs. You get what I'm saying? Now, in the equation, we've always left us out. We get to try to do in the work, try to do the law. Even with the law, they said the law was weak. It was through the flesh. So what it's saying, we're trying to do these things, but we leave out the true God in us that enabled us to do these things. I made the statement today, and I want to be clear about it, that holiness and morality are not the same thing. Holiness and morals, you thought it was the same thing. It's not the same thing. Holiness and morals is not the same thing. Holiness is who you are. It's an identity. Morals is what you do. Are you understanding me? But I cannot be moral or do these things that I should be doing until I realize that I am holy. The Bible says, be ye holy and sin not. See the order? Be ye, be you. Who are you? Holy. God made you holy from the beginning. So be you. Be yourself. Because yourself is holy. You're not a wretched sinner. Saved by just a wretched a rag. You were already made holy from the beginning. Are y'all understanding me? That was God's original intention. He hasn't changed his mind. So now be ye holy and sin not. Now your being controls your morality. Are you understanding me? But for so long, we've been trying to be moral to prove that we're. Are y'all with me? And so I heard today, I heard the Lord tell me, I was talking today, and I heard we've been managing morals and not honoring our holiness. Y'all listen to what I'm saying? We've been focusing on doing this and that and this, and don't do this and don't do that. But as soon as you master this, don't do and don't do that, you done fool around and done something else over here. Anybody? Anybody? It's almost difficult to do. Like, you're not going to be able to do it. So let's deal with the one thing that's needful, which is my identity, my being. I am holy. Say, I am holy. I am. Come on, say it again. I am holy. I am. Come on, say it again. I am holy. I am. Now, because you know that you are, you am. I want to say am, right? I know are, but you am holy. That's who you am, right? I know English, but I'm saying it for a reason. Then now my holiness breeds my morality. Are you understanding me? But for the longest, we've been leaving ourselves out. So we've been trying to do and didn't know who. Are y'all getting it? We've been trying to get it done, but we didn't start with the one. We didn't start with the one that we are. Are y'all understanding me? And so now even talking about church and the organization, we know about coming on Sundays. We know about coming on Wednesdays. We know about, you know, worship going to start at such and such time, and you lift your hands and praise the Lord. We know about offer time. We know about altar call time. We know about prayer before church. We know about prayer on whatever day y'all got prayer on. Like, we know all these different things, and we can get organized in the organization and never be the organ. Now, what happens to the organization if the organs don't function vitally like they should? Remember now, it says vital. Your vital signs are if you are living or not. Right? It has a vital, it's a vital thing that it has to do. So what happens to the organization if the organ is not pumping? Well, let's talk about your heart for a minute. Heart stop pumping, what happens? It don't matter what nothing else is. It don't matter how your brain functions. It doesn't matter anything. If your heart stop pumping, the organization will crumble. So you need to know you and the part that you play in all of this. Are you understanding me? So now you have church. So now our normal, when we say church, everybody say church. Come on, say it again. Say church. Well, our normal, and I'm trying to break your mind. I'm gonna break your mind more and more. Our normal understanding of church is the organization first. We think about the building. We going to where? Huh? Well, we gotta go. We can't go this weekend because we gotta go to. And that's okay. I get it. I understand what you're saying. But you can't leave it there because you leave you out, even though you're there all the time. Right? What if you knew? And I said this last week. What if you realized that you were the organ that made the organization work? What if you knew? What if you came into the building understanding that you made the building a special place? Like this on the first chapter, it says, when a normal place becomes a special place. When another definition of church, I know I told you the ecclesia, and it said to be called out by a name, to carry a name, to be called out from a place by name, to carry a name. Another definition in the Greek of church, it was a public gathering. And it didn't even deal with religion. Over time, because we owned it, just like, you know, different people own certain words, right? Different organizations try to own a word and make it synonymous with who they are, right? And so we took the word and kind of owned it, but it was really about just a gathering of people coming out to gather and talk about something. That's what it was. It was a whole bunch of people. Look, we got church this weekend. Well, it wasn't that they were going to break out the Bibles and they're going to start singing praise and worship. They were coming out. They were doing it for politics. To meet in a certain place for a common understanding. Listen to what I'm telling you. So this is what the original definition of church. So now why do we congregate like we do? Well, we congregate because we're coming together on a common understanding, right? To have the same mindset, the same thought process. And hopefully, most of the time it doesn't happen in a lot of church settings or a lot of church buildings or a lot of organizations. But the goal is for you as the organ to know who you are and begin to function wherever you go from that place. He refers to it and starts talking about it as an operational base. a tactical base, just like the Army. If you've been in the military, you understand that the base is not where the fight goes on. You learn how to fight there, and you learn the intricacies and all the plans, but that ain't where the fight go on. Huh? Yeah, at the base ain't where the fight go on. Now, see, now because we don't know where the organs, we come to the base trying to get the fight taken care of. True or not true? You come to church, try to get hands laid on you because you thought it could only happen there. Jesus made a statement. He would say this over and over again. He said, be it into your car, into your faith. So I'll do it over there if you believe that's where it's at. But I could have did it at your house. I proved that you could have did it at your house because the centurion said, no, you ain't got to come down here to speak the word only. So I proved that we didn't have to go over there. Ain't no distance in the spirit. Whatever you believe. And then Jesus said, I ain't never seen such great faith. He's not a reverend. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a nothing else. He was a centurion. He was a soldier. He was a leader of the other soldiers. Yeah. I ain't seen such great faith. No, I ain't nowhere. Because he believed that it could get done without them having to go to that place. Are y'all understanding me? So now, be it until you're caught into your faith. So now we come try to make the fight in the building. And we casting down strongholds in the operational base. Ain't no enemies in the base unless you a mole. What we doing? We rebuking the devil. He ain't here. Oh, he might be in some of the churches, right? Some of the services. But what are we doing? What are we talking about? We are congregated, and we are lined up. Organization. Everybody say organization. Everybody say organized. Come on, say organized. What it mean to be organized? Come on, your own definition. I ain't got nothing written down. What does it mean to be organized? To put in a place? Come on. To have things in order. 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 Everybody say order. Come on, say order. Come on, everyone say it again. Say order. To have things in order. To have things in place. To have stuff where you know where it is. If I need to call you, I know where you are to deploy you where we need to go. Because I got an organization. I have it in order. Now, people get in the ditch about this because you start finding out that the church is who you are and you're the organ. And so now you think you don't need the building. Been guilty, my mind almost went over there before. Anybody else? Well, yours might not have mine there. Well, you know, nope, you need it. You need the congregation. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves as such. Why? I know what I've missed church service sometimes. I got a little, you know, my mind, I wasn't as clear. I'm a little better now that I've, but a couple times I was younger, I was like, okay. You know, I got a little, because I done missed a couple Sundays, you know what I'm saying? I had to come back, slap that back in order. Everybody say order. Come on, say it again, say order. Without order, you've been in the military. Anybody else been in the military? Anybody in the military? If you know anything, without order, you'll fool around and get me killed, even though you're on my team. Because you don't know order. You'll fool around and do things that's not in the lineup of the order of what we're supposed to do. What's the next thing you're supposed to do if this don't work? Well, this is the next thing. And if that don't work, what's the next thing? And if that don't work, what's the next thing? But if you don't know order, you're going to act out of. And before you know it, you're going to break ranks and get us hurt. Are you understanding me? And it goes back to even you not knowing who you are. So now our normal conversation of church is the organization. And I want to say this again. We know the organization. We know how it's built. We know the intricacies of that. We know there's a preacher. And I'm using the word preacher loosely. You know what I'm saying? I know we're going to get down into the specifics of apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. We're going to get into those specifics of that. But there's a minister or somebody that conducts the service. We know the normal way things go. So that's we know the organization. But then we forget ourselves and we leave us out. But let me tell you something. When you come here, and most of y'all are when you come here at the Word of Life on a Sunday morning, or your worship on a Sunday morning, when you come there, the person that comes there makes that place alive. You brought life there. You didn't come to get life. Come on, I'm going to say it again. You brought life there. You didn't come there to get life. Just imagine if you knew you were life and you were bringing life there, then life meets life. How much quicker it'll be. But we come, be it into your call to your faith. Remember that, right? Whatever you believe, if thou canst believe, how many things are possible? All things are possible to who? Him that believeth. Does it say anything? Does it say what? What you believe? Does it give a list of what it is? No, it says, if thou canst believe. So if you believe something, whatever you believe is possible to the one that's believing. And so sometimes because you don't believe that you are bringing life to the base. Right? then you don't even function in your organ. But I need you beating. I need your heart beating. I need you beating. I need you flowing. And if I get down into the technicals of it, you know, sometimes you have the ushers and you have the, and I'm not even getting into all that, but that's just not the only thing. But even if you're coming and you're sitting, you are there for a reason. Yes, we understand we're coming to get fed. Yes, but what are we getting fed? We're getting fed more information about who we are. We're getting fed the things that agree with our system. Right now, I'm with Apostle right now, and you know, Apostle, they'll jump on something real quick, and now he's got a different eating habit now. He's eating something a little different. He's eating things that agree with his system. He's doing study and realizing, because there are things that agree and things that don't agree. There are things that assimilate into your system and give you the energy and the health that you need, and there are things that will tear you down. Are you understanding me? So now, you coming in, knowing who you are, will bring the right belief to the situation to where it can assimilate and make the body work like it's supposed to. Not only your individual organ body, but the whole body as a whole. Are you understanding me? But before we do that, you have to change what you think. Right? So I'm coming. He's coming to feed me. He's feeding me who I am already. I'm learning more about who I am already. The trick is that you just don't know who you are. Identity is the number one trick. Did you know that? Well, it's not that I don't pray enough. How long you been praying? I'm sure you prayed a lot. I'm sure you done read a lot. What's the holdup? You don't know it's you. You the one you've been looking for. you've been with it all the whole time. Since you can think about thinking, you've been with it the whole time. But we leave ourselves out of the equation. So now if you read this now in Matthew 16, now this conversation makes a little bit more sense. Right? Matthew 16, we start off with verse 13, like we started when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? Say some say that John the Baptist, Elijah, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said, but whom say you? Who do you say that I am? Y'all see it? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus answered, said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, or revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, thou art rock. Y'all remember that from last week. You rock. Say, I am rock. I am rock. Come on, say it again. Say, I am rock. I am rock. One more time, say, I am rock. So now if he says you are rock, then he says, and you are rock. And upon you, because now you know you're rock, upon this rock, which rock? The one I'm talking about, you. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now, we all know that a church can't be built on your back. Like, ain't nobody laying in the foundation of this church. Nobody body. Are y'all understanding me? So we understand that he's not talking just about a building. I don't even know if they met, and I did a lot of study, though. I don't even know if they met in buildings at the time. First time we saw that was in the book of Acts when they were gathered in one place. And they were in houses. Are you understanding me? That's what they called the house of the Lord. They were in houses. But now, thou art rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me make something clear to you. The first thing that Jesus says, right after he said, thou art rock, and I'll build my church on the rock, the first thing he dealt with was mobility. Look at it. Thou art Peter. Thou art rock. And he says, what he says after this? Come on, y'all there? I'm reading by myself. Let me tell you the scripture real quick so you can go over turnover and just instead of just listening to me talk. Verse 18, read, ready, read. That thou art Peter, thou art rock. And upon this rock I will what? Build my what? My church. And then he says what? And the gates of hell, mobility. Everybody say mobility. Come on, say it again, mobility. One more time, mobility. Immediately he began to speak of being mobile, being able to move, going out somewhere else. Immediately, the first thing he talks about was the gates of hell. I said it last week, gates don't move. Gates don't move. When last time you seen a gate going down the street? Gates don't have tires. When you pull up to a gate, it's got a place that it's either kind of keep you out of or trying to keep some people in. They don't move. So now if the gates of hell is not going to prevail against me, that means I've come up. I've been mobile from where I was to where the gates were to go in and conquer what's on the other side. The first thing is mobility. Write that down. The first thing Jesus talked about the church being, after he talked about being built up on a rock, which is you, right? The first thing he said was it'd be mobile. And remember, Jesus didn't say the word church a lot. Two times. Out of the 79 times in the New Testament, he said it two times. He talked about it twice. But then the one or two times that he talked about it, it was so foundational. The other time he talks about it, he said, if your brother sinned against you or something happened, he said, tell your brother. Then go to him again. And if you don't listen to them, go to them. And if you don't go to them, then tell it to the church or the group so that the group, the community can help you out. He was making you understand what his concept of church was. Are you understanding me? Sometimes man is funny. Mankind is funny. Don't ever forget that mankind is funny because sometimes mankind get involved and start messing stuff up. Or start making their own versions of what the original version was. And then sometimes we got to go back to the original and then assimilate it to what's going on. Are y'all understanding me? The first thing is mobility. The first thing he says is the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So the church should be in movement. Now, we ain't talking about moving this building, are we? I can't hear you. We ain't talking about moving this building, huh? Wouldn't that be some kind of crusade? Wouldn't that be some kind of effort to try to move this building to another place, right? No, that's not the place. It's an organization. This is an operational base. It's a tactical base. Well, we come here and get marching orders, right? Right? And really, we come here to get marching orders, but not only marching orders, but we come here to really learn more about ourselves because sometimes the order can come at your house. Are you understanding me? And you won't be at another place acting like you ain't been to this place. Everybody say order. Come on, say it again. Say order. So now I don't forget where, you know, say don't forget where you came from. So now I'm not out here operating somewhere else like I hadn't learned it from in here. Are y'all understanding me? Now I'm not getting on the traditions or the religious side of it. Although religion is important because it keeps you in place until you can learn. I always say this. People say no religion. No. Because religion it comes from the word religare in Latin, which means to bind. And so, you know, you get them like, I don't want to be bind on earth, loose on earth. Right. Right. But I bind my hand if I'm about to run out in the road and the car gonna hit me. Remember we were talking about that? Bind me, grab me, snatch me up. It keeps you in place. What it was keeping you inside the lines until you know how to drive without lines. Are y'all getting me? Yes, sir. Right? Rules keep you alive until you become the rule. We'll read that in a minute in Ephesians 4. It says, till we grow to the measure, rule, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we measure up to the same measurement. So now I want to say it again, so I had to make it clear. We know the organization, but we have left out the organism and the organs, right? Although the organs and the organism is what make the organization what it is. If Word of Life Christian Center had no members or no people, it would not be a church. I've seen buildings that were churches that are no longer churches. Church building. Have you? I've seen places that were quote unquote temples that are no longer temples. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? One of the things that we carried over, and I think Jesus was trying to change us and train us from it. One of the things we carried over was the temple mentality. Let me deal with that for a minute. And I don't have time to really get into it, but in the Old Testament, quote unquote, and I'm saying that for a reason, because I've gotten more understanding of it. God wasn't talking to everybody. You get it? He's talking to the priest. He's talking to whoever the priest or the man of God was at the time. Are you understanding me? And so they built these temples. And so at this time, people literally thought that God lived in the temple. He's too big for to live in the temple or any big house you're going to build. But they really thought, so that was the place that they went. Everybody couldn't go in the temple. Wow. That means everybody couldn't go in. Only the priest could go in because he was the one that was considered the one without sin. Everybody couldn't go in. Then they had to tie bells around his ankle and tie a rope around his ankle because if he go in with some foolishness, bow, and it's over with. And they got to just drag him on out and just get a new one. Just vote a new one in. Or what the Lord said, who he said the next one is? Do y'all understand that? But that was only being until you're caught into your faith. In the beginning. In the beginning. God said, let us make man how? In our own image, our own likeness, right? And so he modeled him from the dust and from the dirt. Then he breathed into man, and man became a what? A living soul, right? So the life on the inside of him was the Spirit of God, right? If you say, you look up the word spirit and what it means in the original term, it really means to breathe in, right? It literally means breath, right? So he literally breathed himself into mankind. Well, when did he take it back? He breathed in. I'm going to take this back till he ain't ready. No, he never took it back, did he? Huh? No, so even after they ate out the tree? So what you're telling me is, it's scripture, right? What you're telling me is the Spirit of God was still on the inside of man even after they ate from the tree. Oh, he's still in there. So they were still made in God's image and his likeness. They were still children of God, weren't they? But what's happening? What's the problem then? What's the problem now? My mind. Everybody say my mind. Come on, say it again. Say my mind. Come on, my mind has taken on another allegiance. God never changed his mind about you. You realize you go back and listen to what God told him. You know, he said he started telling the woman what's going to happen to her and started telling the man what's going to happen to her. But he didn't start giving judgment. Oh, I heard y'all ate from the tree. Now y'all cursed. And this, he didn't come there. He said, where are y'all? Go read the story in Genesis. Where you at? Where y'all at? I'm looking for you in the garden. I come looking for you. Because normally you out here, we meeting and we talking together, and now I can't find you. Where you at? Then they come out talking about we hid, like you hiding from the one that see everything. He say we hid, and he started defining himself. He say we hid because we were afraid. You just gave yourself fear. That word wasn't even used. And we was naked. That word wasn't used either. How you defining yourself? Because you didn't take allegiance. Your mind took another allegiance. From that point on, and you really find yourself, because sometimes we're eating up the tree on a day-to-day basis. You think that's over in Genesis. It might be your Genesis of tomorrow. Start of your... Are y'all with me? So now, because it's unto your faith, now mankind has gotten to a place now where they are fearful, they are unidentified, and so now these orders that come from God, or these directions that come from God, was unto man according to his faith. You received that because of your actions. But that wasn't God's original intention. So now for thousands of years now, mankind think he's separate from God. God is some mean man up in the sky that's going to strike me and beat me down. Well, you had enough reason for him to wipe all y'all out. You know, God even said it in the Bible sometimes, I repent that I made man. And a couple of times he's ready to wipe him out, us out. Thank God his love more than his wrath, right? But now we're going through and through and through. And so now we build the temples, and we it's this place now where, and see, God will do it, be it unto you according to your faith. Everybody say, be it unto me according to my faith. Say it again. Say, be it unto me according to my faith. One more time. Be it unto me according to my faith. So whatever my faith is for, that's how it's going to come towards me. Now, I want to say this again. That if you think it's just going to happen at the church house, then when you need it at your house, at your home, it can't happen because you think it's just here. Lay your hands on yourself. Well, you got the ability to do it, and you ain't rather lay no hands. Just speak it. You know, Jesus ain't lay hands all the time. Just say the word. But now we've developed this thing, this fear, this separation, this distance. There's no longer. Why didn't Adam and Eve say they were sorry? Why didn't they apologize? You ever thought about that? I know me. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm naked. That's what I would have said. I feel like I'm naked. I don't know what naked is. I would have said that. I feel scared, but I don't know why. But I'm sorry. I know I wasn't supposed to eat on this tree. We sorry. I just started talking for both of us. Right? Never said it. Shows shows the mindset of mankind for all of these years. A non-repentant state. Jesus said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means, you go look up the word repent in the original Greek and Hebrew, it just means to change your mind. So he says, change your mind, because God's way of doing things is here. Change your mind, because now there's a new way of doing things. Change your mind, because it ain't going to look like the old thing you was doing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So now we're here in these years and years and years through all these great prophets and all these great, but it's still the same thing. One man got to hear from God for the nation. We'll never make a progress like that. We'll never do. In a lot of instances, tell the truth right quick. Can y'all tell the truth? A lot of instances, we're still living like that, ain't we? Huh? I can't hear you. That don't mean that our man of God can't hear on our behalf. Why do we go from one ditch to the other? Why can't it not be? He can speak on it. He can hear on our behalf, but you can hear. Are you understanding me? What if we all were hearing? What if we, the Bible said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. We thought they talking about marriage. We thought they were talking about having friends that ain't Christians. No, he ain't talking about that. You got people that sit next to you in church that are unequally yoked with you because they don't believe. Being in your car to your what? Faith. But what if we can be equally yoked? What if we can all understand who we were? And the truth about who I am. Say the truth about who I am. What if we all understood this? Well, how much more help will we be to the organization? How much more could we do if over there you're acting like me? And over here I'm acting like you. And we're all acting like Jesus. Wow, where you from? Say where you from. Like, where you originally, where you from? Say it, come on. Yeah, over there. None of us was hanging. We didn't ride. Y'all ain't riding a bus together today to come to class, huh? Y'all didn't ride a bus. We all came to the same place. So y'all come from different places, right? We came to different places and we came to one place to get some instructions about who we are. I ain't really got much else to talk to y'all about this year. I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to talk about the organization and we're going to talk about the order, but it all leads back to the identity. Because if I don't get the identity, then order or organization has nothing to work with. Are y'all hear that? Y'all hear that statement? If I don't know who I am, then the organization and the order has nothing to work with. So it starts off with the identity. Are y'all seeing? Seek ye first, Matthew 6:13 is clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? That starts off with identity. God's way of doing things. Who's God's way of doing things? Me. Say, I am God's way of doing things. Say it again. Say, I am God's way of doing things. One more time. Say, I am God's way of doing things. Stop looking for the way. Be the way. What Jesus said about the way. John 14:6. What he said? He ain't said, I got the way. Huh? Then he started talking to him. He said, and the way I'm going, and the way you know. You know the way. Yeah, you know yourself. You just don't think you know yourself because everything else has told you something else about yourself. Everything else trying to give you a different identity so you don't even know you the son of God. Tricks. Deception. Same deception the serpent did in the beginning. So now we join a ministry, or we whatever the words we use, right? Even though ministry means simply passing out, right? We join a ministry, or we join a church, or we join an organization, and we never come to the realization that I am an organ. You go to any church and they don't tell you you're an organ, you ain't supposed to be there. They're not fulfilling what they're supposed to fulfill. And you see, I'm using church in the sentence. I'm talking about the building, I'm talking about the organization, I'm talking about the time that they have service. If they ain't serving you, then you got the wrong meal. If they ain't serving you, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. If they're not serving you, then they're giving you the wrong diet. They've got to serve you. And they show you the difference between who you think you are and who you really are. That's the meal. Are y'all getting me? So we left it out. We left it out. We left it out. We left us out. We've been going to try to get a blessing. Get ready for your blessing. You are the blessing. Say, I am the blessing. Say it again. Say, I am the blessing. Come on, one more time. Say, I am the blessing. You ain't got to get what you are. The only thing you do is get understanding. And all that getting, get what? Of who you are. We're going trying to get a blessing. We're going trying to get a miracle. Well, you the miracle. First of all, and this is not a sex education class, so I won't go that far. But the fact that everything got together like it did, if you do the numbers, we all grown with the sperms and the eggs. If you do the numbers and do the research, the millions and millions, there's no way that's supposed to reach and make a person. That's a miracle. Everybody say, I am. That's physical. There ain't no, I'm born too early and the Lord. No, they ain't. All right, we not even get to that level. Let's just start with the conception, right? 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 Let's start with the original, right? I am a miracle. I am the miracle. If you realize you were, then you can do them better. We just don't know that we are. So because we don't know that we are, we don't know that we can. And so now we continue to search for identity. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. We continue to search for life. And so we do this thing over here, and we do this thing at this time of our life. And we go get this, and we go get this, and we try to make this much money. And we try to do this, and we do all these different things to try to define what life is when you already are life. Say, I am life. So now from here, and this happened way before we ever knew what we thought church was. In Matthew chapter 16, yeah, Matthew chapter 16, right? You know that happened before you were born. Y'all do know that, right? No, just answer me. Y'all, I just want to make sure you know. Y'all do know that Matthew 16 was written and it happened before you got here, right? So even when you went to children's church or wherever you started church at, whatever your idea of church was, this was there already. This is already his intention from the first time. Maybe this is the first thing we should have learned. In kids' church, in Vacation Bible School, huh? Right. But here we are now. When I find it, it becomes clear to me the point that Jesus has for the church, and who it is. Now let's say who it is, not what it is. Who it is. So now a normal place. I got to get this. Now a normal place becomes a special place because we are here. Your body. Come on, touch your hands. Come on. Your body is only giving off or able to function in life because your organs are working. Otherwise, you'd be laid out here with no pulse, no heartbeat, no blood pumping, but it'll still look like you for a little while. But the organs is what gives the body life. Matter of fact, even the skin is the largest organ. Y'all know that? Your skin is your largest organ. So now these are the things that give our body life. If our organs are not functioning, then our body has no life. Has no vitality. Vital signs. Are y'all understanding me? So if I don't know who I am as the organ, and I come to the body, I become a hindrance instead of a help. I become the blocked artery. I become a clogged vein or a non-functioning whatever part that you play. And I begin to hinder the body more than function as the body because I don't know my part. And I don't know my part because I don't know who I am. I used to hate playing ball. And you 7 foot tall. We playing basketball. You 7 foot. You know where you're supposed to be. Get under the goal. You're not in the basketball. New now. You know, different ones are tall and just run up. But just, hey, bro, just get on the block. You're not the point guard, bro. Stop trying to cross over because your crossover is 2 hours longer than everybody else's. You got to come from way up here. Come on, bro. Ain't nobody else taller than you, bro. Just get on there. All I'm going to do is throw it up to you. You just letting it go. Play your part. You can't dribble no way. Play your role. Get out of my lane. Our lanes come together to make a bigger role, but get out of mine. But I got to know who I am. Ain't nobody ever told me. Then I don't know. And so now what's supposed to happen, I've said it before, but what's supposed to happen is a normal place, the lights, when we leave here tonight, Dash, we'll be leaving here tonight, we lock up, the lights will be off in here, and we'll put the air conditioning on regular temperatures because they don't need to be that cold like it be on Sunday. Because ain't nobody in there, and the lights will be off, the doors will be locked, and ain't nothing going on. Ain't nobody in here dancing. Angels in here dancing. No, they... Everybody, I mean, they can be up here dancing. They won't. God can do what he won't. So I'm not telling him what he can or can't do. But we'll never know. If they was in here dancing, angels be dancing. Well, what they got to do with us? He can quit all the dancing and come watch my house. I told somebody one time, because, you know, we made better than the angels. So I told my angel, I'm protecting him. I got you, bro. That's a different mindset. Different mindset. But now, they're going to shut down. This place become a normal place. Leave it like that long enough without life coming inside of it, and it'll dilapidate. Animals will take over. Different stuff will take over. Dust will start taking over. And before you know it, it won't work. Because you are the life of the church. Say, I am the life of the church. Come on, say it again. Say, I am the life of the church. Not the pastor. I can go down, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. But they are not the life of the church. They have an order in the church and a position to play in the church to bring order, but they are not the life of the church without you. And you are not the life of the church without. Because every joint, Ephesians 4 says every joint supplies. They work it together, the effectual working of the measure in every part. Make an increase of the body, edifying, building itself, coming together on itself in love. Are y'all understanding me? So, but the normal place, I'm gonna say it again, a normal place becomes a special place. We'll say, well, why does that happen? Well, you know, Brother Ken show up, you know what I'm saying? And Brother Calvin show up, I'm here, and now he know who he is, and he know who he is, and I know who I am. So that's a lot of I am going on. That's a lot of I am going on in one room. Right? That's a lot of Jesus in one place. Right? And then if Brother Trey come, and Trey know who he is, but I'm just using an example. Brother Trey come, and he don't quite know who he is, then Jesus right there, and Jesus right there, and Jesus right here. Gonna let him know Jesus right here. Do y'all understand the point? See, and a normal place becomes a special place. So now we already know that we ready for that action when we showed up. I was ready for that action when I got up. I'm not waiting for him to pray. That don't mean I'm gonna be in the crowd, start laying hands on people. Calm down, because the word is order. Everybody say order. Right. Ain't gonna be another. Well, I felt the need. No, you ain't felt the need of nothing. Go ask questions, because there is. Right, but we right here, cocked and ready. And ready to go, and the brother Trey coming, he don't know. Right, Jesus and me, Brother Calvin is an usher. Jesus and me is gonna meet him, walking down the aisle. And freeze tag, activate. You remember freeze tag? You remember freeze tag? Right. Activate. Oh, press your button. Now, you've seen Jesus. Now you've seen what you look like. And then he start telling you who you are. And he don't tell you that he better than you because he's been here longer than you. Right? Or he don't tell you that just because you look a little different than him. Oh, we're going to get into that one. Next class, and I only got 4 minutes. We ain't going to talk about that one tonight, right? But I'm going to let you see Jesus in me, which shows you Jesus in you. You get it? Sometimes the Father puts you in places of authority. I put you in places of leadership, but the leadership is the one that washed the feet. Ooh, we don't know that message too much. I'm going to talk about it. We're going to have that message in here. You know the washing the feet? You know the story about, yeah, Jesus said, he said, Peter said, no, he said, I got to do this. I got to do this so you understand. You understand what this is all about. This is a Messiah. That'll wash your feet. We like to stand up at the pulpit. No, I'll wash your feet. Many times, there'll be times you have positions of authority. Can you function that way? Can you be high and humble at the same time? Can I give y'all a good one? I got it the other day. Because you never want to be more highly, think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. Right? Right? But it doesn't mean you don't think high. Because you know it's pretty high to say I'm a son of God. Right? With all the stuff we've been saying, I am the blessing, you know, I am the will of God, I am the will. That's pretty up there compared to everything else, right? Well, how do I not lose my grip? How do I not go off and think it's just me? Right? Well, the statement says, I am who I am through I am. Put it down. Y'all better put it down or remember it or something. I am who I am. How? Through I am. And he, the Father, which in turn is Jesus, we pay attention to Jesus, right, is a divine filter. So it begins to when I bring every thought to the obedience of, when I bring those thoughts to the obedience of Christ, the high-minded one can't stay because I done took it through the filter. You got the air-conditioned filter at your house? The air-conditioned filter at your house? Yeah, the filter, come on, you got air-conditioned at your house, right? Yeah, the filter keeps all that dust from going through your vents and coming in your room and messing you up while you're sleeping. The filter. So now when you get to the filter, but the air, you catch it? The air, breathe the air. The air can get through, regardless of the dirt. Thanks, Lord. Thanks. The air gets through, regardless of the dirt. So I need to be running myself through the divine filter. Because I am, how does it go? Say it. I am who I am, through I am. Now that keeps me from thinking that I'm solo by myself. I ain't got no power but the power that was given to me by the power. So now I am, and that's okay to say I am. Everybody say I am. Come on, don't be scared. Say I am. Come on, say it again. Say I am. I am who? I am. Uh-oh, now we got identity. Yep, so we know I am. I am. Yep. I am. Let's talk. I am. Who?
I am.
Right? But how? Through I am. It's a divine circle. It's a divine cycle. It's almost like your blood. You know, I think it's your liver or your kidney that cleans your blood. And it goes through and it just cleans your blood and cleans your blood. My kidney, just keep cleaning. Keep cleaning. Through I am. And it keeps the divine filter. So don't forget, the class is going to end and we're going to end in a second. Don't forget who you are in the equation. This place cannot become a special place without you. You understand me? Amen.